pray as we come to reflect on God's word to us today. Father, we ask today that you would give us confidence in you. Teach us from your word that we can come to you as your children and ask for all that we need. And we pray this for your name's sake. Amen. When I was in my early 20s, I got a phone call from my friend Josh. It was about 2 a.m. My friend asked me for a lift. I can't remember what the specifics were about why he was calling, but he got himself in some sort of fix. And on the surface, it was a completely outrageous request. But despite my bleary eyes, I was secretly delighted that he had called, because it told me he knew I really was his friend and he could trust me to help him. Friendship's not an exchange, is it? You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. It's being there for each other when you need it most. We don't need to be taught how to ask as kids, ask for help as kids. That's what our parents and other grown-ups are for. That's why they're there. But we can kind of forget how to ask as adults. We can think there's a kind of shame in asking for help, especially for things that show our weakness and vulnerability. We're meant to be independent, self-sufficient, able to stand on our own two feet. And we can be like that with God as well. In Deuteronomy 8, Moses warned the people of Israel that when they came into prosperity and abundance, they might become proud and forget the Lord their God and say, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." We can live as though we don't need God's help, and we think we can do life on our own. And even when we are in a pickle, we can find it hard to call out to God for help. But Jesus says, again and again and again in the Gospels, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Today we're continuing our series on prayer, and we're looking at our most basic instinct when it comes to prayer: asking, putting up our hand and asking for God's help. We're going to look at 4 points this morning. Why ask? Does asking really work? How should we ask? And then what should we ask for? My hope is that you'll come away from this sermon and do just what Jesus says: ask God. So let's dive in. Why can we ask? I want to look at two reasons Jesus gives as to why we can ask God for things in prayer. The first comes from our gospel reading in Luke 11 and the equivalent in Matthew chapter 7. I'll just read that now. Jesus says, "Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks you for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, well, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, I confess I sometimes do a bad job of listening to my kids when they come and ask me for things. Maybe I'm tired or grumpy and I snap at a completely reasonable request. You can ask my kids, it's true. Sometimes I have to apologize for how I react to my kids' requests. But despite my failures as a dad, I want the best for my kids all the time. And when they ask for something, I will give them what I think that they need. It might be a piece of fruit instead of a chocolate for morning tea, but I've still got some chocolate stashed away for a treat. Jesus' argument is so simple, isn't it? You and I are flawed people, but we still know how to give good gifts to our kids. Well, we are God's children. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us infinitely and perfectly. He knows what we need. So how much more will He give good gifts to us, His children? Well, Jesus gives a second reason for why we can ask God for things. And that is because we ask in Jesus' name. In preparing this sermon, I discovered something in Luke's gospel I'd never really noticed before. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the one I'm looking for. John's gospel that I'd never really noticed before. In John chapter 14 to 16, Jesus tells us 6 times, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. 6 times Jesus says this. Here we're reminded of what we saw back in our first sermon on prayer a few weeks ago, that in prayer we participate in Jesus' relationship, in His conversation with the Father, His own prayer. Through Jesus, we have access to God the Father in the Holy Spirit. And that's why when we pray, we will often finish with something like, we ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord, because we are offering our prayers in Jesus' name. Jesus gives 3 reasons why we should pray in His name. First, so that the Father will be glorified. John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In answering our prayers, Jesus brings glory to the Father. Second, so that we as His disciples may bear much fruit. John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Asking in Jesus' name helps us remain in Jesus, and as He answers, that brings fruit in our lives and in the world. And third, we ask in Jesus' name so that our joy may be complete. John 16, verse 23. Very truly I tell you, Jesus says, my Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So we can ask our Father in Jesus' name and He will answer our prayers to bring glory to His name, to bear fruit in us and to make our joy complete. What a wonderful promise. But this brings us to point 2. Does asking really work? Does God really answer prayers? I think there's 2 questions we often ask here. First, doesn't God already know what's going to happen? And then second, if He is sovereign and in charge of everything, why would my prayers make any difference? Well, in answering this question, people sometimes focus on prayer as the way that God changes me. That is to say, yes, God is sovereign, and through prayer, God changes me so that I come to align with His will and accept His purposes, and grow more like Jesus. And this is absolutely true. The heart of prayer is surrendering to God's will. Jesus shows us this both when He teaches us to pray and when we see Him wrestling in prayer in the garden. Jesus teaches us to pray, your will be done. And then in Gethsemane, He prays, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. In a very human way, Jesus did not want to go through the suffering and the spiritual anguish that He was about to endure in bearing our sins on the cross. He knew all things were possible for God. And so he asked if there was another way. But he also submitted to God's will. Well, we do this as well in prayer. We bring the desires of our hearts to God. It could be big or small. We bring him all our requests, maybe for exams at school or uni, for getting a job, maybe for buying a house or to find a marriage partner, for our kids, for our health, all our worries. We trust that all things are possible for God. But we also say, "Your will be done." In James 4, we read, "You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." I think this is something of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It's to seek his glory and his purposes in our prayers. And I find Psalm 37 verse 4 really helpful here. "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." The more I delight in God, the more my heart will align with his will and purpose. And so I will see him answer prayer. As Jesus says in John's gospel, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." The prayer of John Chrysostom at the end of the Anglican service of morning prayer sums this up well. John Chrysostom is a 4th century church father. So this is the prayer. "Lord, you have given us grace to agree in these our prayers, and you've promised that when two or three gather in your name, you will grant their requests." He's just quoting Jesus there. And he continues, "Fulfill now, Lord, our desires and prayers as may be best for us. Grant us in this life knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life eternal." So, through prayer, God does change us. But we would be selling Jesus short if we said that was all that prayer does. Jesus tells us again and again, "Ask and it will be given to you." Oh, wait a sec. Here we go. "Ask and it will be given to you. Whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give you." So through prayer, God really does change the world. And here theologians and ordinary Christians throughout the ages have found that yes, God is sovereign, but prayer is his ordained way for us to participate in his work in the world. He has promised to act, but he wants us to ask him to act. Prayer is how we receive God's promises. When we pray, God acts. Our reading from James is full of confidence. James writes, "Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And then James gives us the example of Elijah from the Old Testament, praying for a drought to bring the king of Israel to repentance, and then praying again for rain after 3.5 years of drought, and God answering both prayers. Now, if you know the story of Elijah, you'll know that he was directed to both of these prayers as God's prophet. But he was full of doubt as well as faith. And James also tells us that unconfessed sin can get in the way of God hearing our prayers. That's why confession always ought to be part of our prayers. We saw that last week. James's point, though, is that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. So ask. And ask for big things, things only God can do, like healing or bringing rain. I've seen God answer this kind of prayer, big prayer in my life. When I was in my early 20s, I went on a short-term mission with my parents to Papua New Guinea. We were traveling between villages on little dinghies with outboard motors on the open sea. And one morning we left at dawn to beat a storm that was coming in, but we didn't actually make it. The storm came in, the boats were getting swamped with rain and the waves, and just at the point of disaster, the rain cleared, the waves settled down, and we motored through a double rainbow. It was remarkable. I came to Tasmania and discovered that double rainbows are a dime a dozen down here, but I'd never seen one before, so it was great. Anyway, we got back to Port Moresby, and at the end of the trip, and the youth pastor of the church who'd sent us out came up to us and he asked, "Was there a storm early on that particular morning while you were in the boats?" And we said, "Yes, there was." And he said, "You know what, I was praying that morning and I had a vision that your boats were caught in the storm and I knew that if I didn't pray, there would be a disaster." And so he called together a bunch of the other young people in the church and they prayed that God would calm the storm and take us safely to our destination. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God really does answer our prayers. Well, how should we ask? In our readings from Luke, Jesus gives us two stories to teach us that we should ask boldly and persistently. In Luke 11, Jesus tells us a story. Imagine you go to a friend at midnight and you ask him for 3 loaves of bread to provide for somebody who's just stopped at your house. Your friend's reluctant to give you anything. It's the middle of the night. After all, everyone's in bed. This is just a nuisance. But Jesus finishes, "I tell you, even though he'll not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." How should we pray? Boldly. Shameless audacity. Is that how you would describe what you ask God for? Yes, do that work of aligning your heart to God's will, but ask big, ask outrageously. Jesus tells us to. Early in December 2018, we signed a contract to do $2.2 million worth of restoration work here at St. George's. We'd received $600,000 in grants, but our fundraising efforts for the remainder had come to nothing. But we were praying and we signed the contract in faith that God would provide. And then the week before that Christmas, I got a call from our local member. He said, "Victor, I'm doing a press conference outside your church on Friday. I've asked 5 prime ministers to help fund your restoration. And at last, one has said yes. I've secured $1.6 million to restore the church." Ask boldly. We read Jesus' second story in Luke chapter 18. Here, a widow keeps pestering a judge to give her justice. The judge is corrupt. He keeps putting her off. But eventually he says, "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice." And Jesus says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see they get justice and quickly." Here, as well as highlighting God's concern for justice, Jesus teaches us to be persistent in prayer. If a corrupt judge gives a justice just to get rid of a persistent widow to stop her bothering him, well, how much more will God hear and answer the persistent prayers of his people. Some years ago, Minika brought to the morning prayer team a prayer request for her daughter, Tanya, who'd been diagnosed with leukemia. She was pregnant with her first child after years of trying. And Minika and the rest of the family were understandably really scared that they might lose not just her daughter, but also the baby. And so we prayed at morning prayer for months and months and months. And Minika tells me there was a whole bunch of other people, family members and others, around the world praying. And God was gracious to answer our prayers. Tanya had a healthy baby girl, Grace, and she's still in remission today. Now, of course, she did all the right things, right? She went to the doctor, she had the right treatment and whatnot. But at the same time, we asked as Jesus had told us to, and God heard and answered. Jesus tells us to ask God boldly and persistently. God will answer. Maybe not how we expect, often not when we want, but he will answer. Well, what should we ask for? I spent most of our time looking at how Jesus tells us to ask God. That's because we so often don't. We are children of our Heavenly Father. We can ask God for anything at any time. Nothing is too small for him. Our life is open to him, and we'd be fools to cut him out of any part of it. So sure, ask God to provide that parking spot for you or help you find your keys. Go for it. But we can also ask for his priorities. This is how we can abide with Jesus and pray in his name and for his glory. And the more you read of the Bible, the more you will learn what God's priorities are, and that can inform your prayers. So let's just touch on two. The Lord's Prayer gives us two priorities. We pray, your kingdom come. We pray for the spread of the good news of Jesus. We pray that people may come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, finding life in his name. And this is to the praise of God's glory, that his name may be honored. And we pray that we may see a foretaste of the perfect justice and peace that Jesus will bring when he brings his kingdom in full, when he comes again. Specifically here at church, our church, we can pray for our church, God's work here, that we can shine as the light on the hill. We can pray for our mission partners, the Durdens, Andy Maskell, Clara, Anglicare, as we've already done today. We can pray for people we love and who we long for to come to know Christ. We can pray for God to change us and to change others, to grow the fruit of the Spirit in us. We also pray, give us today our daily bread. This is where we pray for God to provide for our needs and for the needs of others. Again, this can have like a world focus, a community focus, a church focus, a personal focus. We can pray for material needs, and we can pray for spiritual needs. Again, it helps to be specific. Some years ago, I went to a professional development seminar on church leadership from Rick Thorpe, who's now the Archbishop of Melbourne. And he told us this. He said, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send his workers into his harvest field. And Rick said, so if you have a position that needs filling at your church, write down an accurate job description and then pray that God will send this worker into his harvest field. Because Jesus has told you to do that, right? So God will answer that prayer. Well, this is what we're trying to do each week in our staff team. We have a list of all the different vacancies in volunteer positions, things coming up for us as a church as well. And we ask God to fill them. And I have to say, since I've been doing this, he has answered every time. Sometimes, even before we've asked. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Of course, sometimes God says no, like he did when Jesus prayed in the garden. I'm going to think a little bit more about that next week. But today we have seen that God is our loving Father in heaven. He wants to give us his good gifts. All we need to do is ask, and he will answer. I want to finish with one of my favorite prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. If you want to know, it's the collect for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. But anyway, just listen. It's a great prayer. So please join with me. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray. And you give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.